Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a very big honor to have on our show one of the best writers in this city, and a guy who is really, I'm telling you, Al, he was mentored by Bill Lyon. That's all you need to know.
Yes.
This guy knows what he's doing. From TheEnquirer.com, Mike Sielski. Hi, Mike.
Morning, Angelo. How are you guys?
I'm good. Mike, before we hook it up on Andy Reid, what are your impressions right now of Joe Girardi? I know you got to talk to him a little. You got to see him at the banquet. How do you feel about Girardi?
I like him so far. I mean, that speech, you know, the other night at the Sports Writers Banquet was terrific. He seems to be projecting an image that people around here are responding to. Seems confident and clear in his thinking, which is different from the last couple of years. So I think that's good.
All right. Mitch just said that if you went from a bad manager to a good, you could actually improve by 10 games just with that move. You agree with that?
I might think 10 games could be a little bit high, but I do think the fact that they have a different manager, a guy who is much more accustomed to handling all the day-to-day ins and outs of, you know, of a 162-game season, should make them a better team. I think it will. I think once you have a better work environment, your work should improve.
All right, let me get into the column that really upset me because, first of all, because I know you stand for something. Well, by virtue of reading you every day, Mike, I know that it's more for you than just what you do on the field, that you do incorporate character and personality into your assessments of individuals when you're writing columns about them. And the headline on your column is, Andy Reid is a great coach, whether he gets a Super Bowl win or not, and every Eagle fan should give him his due. Could you please state your case for Andy Reid?
Sure. I mean, basically what the headline says there, he's a great coach. He's seventh on the all-time win rankings. This is his second Super Bowl. He has a chance to win one. He's been to, seven conference championship games. If you look at his influence on the sport, particularly, I think, during his time with Kansas City, it's pretty hard to deny that he, you know, short of Bill Belichick and maybe one or two other people, he's been about as influential in the league as anybody. I mean, he took the most hated player in the league, Michael Vick, and turned him into an all-pro caliber quarterback. He revitalized the career of a first overall pick bust in Alex Smith. He saw where the league was heading in terms of its offense, and he helped direct it there with, you know, jet sweeps and spread offenses, and he went and found Patrick Mahomes and traded up and got him, and Mahomes is now probably the best quarterback or even best player in the league. You know, I think he's a great coach, and I think if you're still fixated on what happened here in Philadelphia, and I understand why people are, because we lived it for so long, I get it, but I think you're kind of missing the forest for the trees at this point.
When you're, you know, looking at a player or a coach, how important is it that they win the big one, they win the championship?
That's important, but it's not everything. I mean, there have been great coaches in the NFL who didn't. I mean, Bud Grant was a great coach. He didn't win a Super Bowl. So, I mean, it would certainly help his Hall of Fame case if they won in 2 weeks. But, you know, I don't think he necessarily needs to win that game for people to acknowledge how good a coach he's been.
All right, I always ask this of columnists because I'm not sure. I think most columnists root for a good story, not for a specific team. Is that the way you do it, Mike?
That is the way I do it, yes.
And Reid is a great story for this city if he wins a Super Bowl this year, correct?
Correct. I agree.
So, but how do you get past all the other stuff that's going on? I'll start with Super Bowl 39. Do you understand yet why they didn't hurry up and give themselves enough time to try to beat the Patriots in 39? Have you come to grips with how that thing ended that day?
I mean, nobody really knows the full story, I guess. From everything I've kind of gathered over the years, I kind of took it as a combination of a couple of things. Number one, that's the way Andy wanted to do it, for better or for worse. Number two, Donovan was pretty beat up in that game, whether he was throwing up or not. He was not in great shape, maybe not in the best condition to go full bore. And at the time, actually, I kind of argued that the bigger mistake was that they onside kicked after scoring the touchdown because they still had two timeouts left. And what really crippled them in the end was their field position. I mean, they stopped the Patriots on the next possession, but because the because they had onside kicked and the Patriots were at their own, 40-yard line or something like that, they could really pin the Eagles back deep. If they had kicked it deep, you know, played the percentages, stopped the clock, and then had the Patriots kick, they might have had a better chance of getting the field goal to tie the game.
All right, but here's what I'm trying to figure out. It's the only Super Bowl Andy's been in over 20 years of coaching. Do you think we'll get clarity? This is bound to come up during Super Bowl week, right, Mike? Andy, explain what happened the last time you were here. Do you expect it to come up, and do you expect we'll get any more clarity on it?
I expect it will come up. I expect we will get absolutely no clarity based on all the available evidence we have from Andy Reid over the last 20 years.
And that's part of my issue, Mike. You're a media guy. He never gave clarity on anything he didn't want to. And I don't respect that. I think 15 years after the fact, you should respect the fans enough to give them an honest explanation for what happened. Why is that asking too much?
Well, Angelo, these days, no sports figure gives you clarity on something he or she doesn't want to give you clarity about. I mean, that's the silly thing by which to judge the guy. I mean, you know, you want to say he's a bad big game coach, that's fine. You know, let's have that discussion. But, you know, the idea that he's close-mouthed and that's a reason to hate him, I'm sorry. It doesn't meet the measure for me.
All right, so let's try the morality question then. Tyreek Hill is a bad act by any measure. By any measure, he's a bad act. Regardless of what you can prove in a courtroom and what you can't, he added to that by pantomiming a dog urinating as he came out onto the field for the AFC Championship game. How am I supposed to root for Tyreek Hill?
You don't have to root for Tyreek Hill. I'm not telling you to root for Tyreek Hill. But I also think, and I kind of glanced at this in the column, but it's my sincere belief, I don't believe that evaluating Andy Reid or any NFL coach compared to other coaches based on who they keep on their roster or who they try to keep on their roster who are quote-unquote bad guys is a useful way to evaluate them. I mean, look, Angela, you have Dick Vermeil on every Friday during the NFL season. Dick Vermeil did everything he possibly could to keep Lawrence Phillips on his roster for the St. Louis Rams when he was there. Look up what Lawrence Phillips did before he was with the Rams and look up some of the things he did while he was with the Rams. And Vermeil even said years later that he regretted cutting Phillips. Now, we all give Dick the benefit of the doubt because we know, or we think, generally speaking, he's a good guy. But, you know, he still did it because that's what these guys do. These coaches do these things. They try to keep guys who they think can help them win or they want to save their soul or whatever the case may be. So I'm not going to hold that against Andy Reid. I'm not going to hold Andy Reid to a standard that I wouldn't hold every other coach in the NFL to. And to me, it's not useful to say, well, he keeps bad guys.
All right, hold on. Mitch
Mike,
wants to say something. All right, stop. Give Mitch a chance
Mike,
to say something.
This is Mitch here. I got to ask you, where do you draw the line on something like this? Because I've been on teams that have bad acts. That's inevitable in professional sports. But when they're repeatedly doing things and they're egregious things and you're under a spotlight like Tyreek Hill is right now, and he goes on the field and lifts his leg like a dog peeing. How do you continue to give these people jobs when they're making your organization look bad? Just because they're winning?
Let's consider the Rams example again. The Rams weren't even winning with Lawrence Phillips. I don't know what the line is. I think that line comes down to each particular coach. I mean, obviously the Patriots had a particular line for Aaron Hernandez, and it only, you know, it went so far before he finally crossed it. You know, to me, we're talking about measures of degree as opposed to the principle itself. You know, it's I don't see it as a meaningful distinction to say, well, Tyreek Hill has done this and this and this in the past, and therefore Andy Reid is a bad coach for keeping him around. When, you know, again, I use the Dick Vermeil or the Bill Belichick example there, you know, I can find virtually any coach, who has had an athlete who transgressed in some way, and they tried. They did their best to keep him around. John Harbaugh, Ray Rice.
All right. How about three of them? How about three of them at the same time? Frank Clark, domestic abuse. Now, you heard what he did at the NFL Network. If you want to, Joe, play this. Just listen. I'm supposed to root for Frank Clark.
I posted the comments that you said to me, and all over social media, everybody said you better watch your back, that you're saying things that you can't cash. Everybody on social media saying. Back.
They must not know who I am yet. They're going to find out sooner or later when I got that ring on my finger. At the end of the day, we champions. AFC, that trophy that got my own and last name on it, that the KC. KC, ain't no fall off. Last year, jump off sides, all that. I told him when I got here, the is gonna change. Look at the we're the best in the world.
Go join.
Go Chiefs. How about LeSean beating up our off-duty cops in Philadelphia? Where's the line? Mitch asked you the question. You keep giving the same two examples. You got three on the team right now about ready to play for the Super Bowl. It's not enough. How many do I need? Let me get a prison team and put them out on the field. You'll still be okay because Andy Reid is the coach? Is that what you're saying, Mike?
No, I'm saying that don't judge Andy Reid by a standard that you wouldn't judge every other coach by. There's an old joke, okay, about a gentleman at a party, right? And he asks a woman, ma'am, would you sleep with me for $1 million? And the woman weighs it and says, well, I probably would for $1 million. And then he says, would you sleep with me for $5? And she says, no, what kind of woman do you think I am? And he says, I already know what kind of woman you are. We're just haggling about a price. And I look at NFL coaches in the same way. All we're doing here is haggling about a price. They all do it. They all do it to one degree or another. And condemning Andy Reid for it, when you're not condemning, for example, the guy who comes on your radio show every week during the
one example,
and Mike,
one example, Mike, Lawrence Phillips is all you got for Dick Vermeil.
And Mike, Vermeil inherited
one example.
Vermeil inherited him and did cut him in his first season there. But he said he was haunted by cutting him because he feels like he maybe could have saved him. That's a completely different. You're using that as your example, and it's not the same.
It's apples and oranges,
right? He said he wanted to keep him. Because he wanted to help him.
Said it haunts
him. It had nothing to do with keeping him on the roster. He feels like he abandoned him at a personal level. You better come up with better examples than you have right now, Mike, because you're not making a compelling case.
Angelo, you are giving Dick Vermeil a benefit of the doubt that you are not giving Andy Reid.
Andy Reid chose these guys.
He inherited Lawrence Phillips.
Hey, what does that matter? He didn't cut him right away.
Everybody knew he did cut him before his first season once he realized what he was.
Mike, you don't even have your facts right.
Hold on. He did cut him once he had had enough of him. Lawrence Phillips had thrown his girlfriend down a staircase in college. Everybody knew who Lawrence Phillips was.
Yes, and he cut him before the first season was out.
No, he didn't. He played for him,
but he cut him during his first season.
He didn't cut him the first day.
I don't think legally he would be able to cut him the first day.
Yeah.
Why not?
Because there is a certain thing, employment law, the Players Association, you can't just blow in and release someone for no reason.
Well, actually, in the NFL, you probably can.
All right, bottom line, Mike, bottom line is, you're on this show, and so you're hardly the minority here, who are finding excuses that you can make up to make Andy seem better. Give me one coach who's got three of these bad acts on at the very same time. Can you do that?
I haven't done the research to know.
There isn't any.
I would bet my life that there has been at least one, if not many more coaches who have.
Mike.
This is what these guys do, Angelo.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's not a meaningful distinction among NFL coaches. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that if you're going to hammer Andy Reid for it, hammer everybody else.
As soon as you do the column on the other guys who are harboring all these bad acts, I will do that. I promise you. Mike every day on theinquirer.com. Thank you, Michael. That got contentious, as I thought it would, because I didn't think that was that. He used Dick Vermeil. He had Dick Vermeil.
Well, I went and looked it up.
Phillips.
I mean, I know we've talked to Dick Vermeil about Lawrence Phillips.
A lot, yes.
And I just went, the story in the St. Louis paper that I'm looking up, this was after Phillips died in prison.
Right.
As that he was cut 2/3 through Vermeil's first season on November 20th.
Right.
So he inherited him.
But Vermeil felt
that he that failed he had him.
Failed him.
Yeah.
That he could not rehabilitate a lost soul. That was the real story.
You know, I would also suggest Mike go read the report of what Frank Clark did to his girlfriend in college, and Reed chose to sign him.
Tyreek Hill.
Vermeil inherited Lawrence film. No, I'm
and
talking
while
about
you're at it, look at the photos of LeSean McCoy's girlfriend in Atlanta a couple of years ago. They're all part of Reed's team.
That's never been
now.
Proven.
Well, the photos are, you don't have to prove a photo.
But was he ever arrested for it?
No, he was not.
No.
But he wasn't arrested here for beating up cops, I think, happened. Right? These are all the people, all you guys out there that are rooting for the Chiefs, congratulations. Those are the guys you're going to be rooting for the Super Bowl in 11 days. Enjoy. WIP Sports Time, 817.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.